Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Paddock Pass, the podcast where we talk all things motorsport. I'm your host, Evie Spencer, an aspiring motorsport journalist from the UK, and you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Evie Spencer Motorsport. Make sure to follow my socials and this podcast for lots of motorsport content. Hope you enjoy! So today I'm here with Zach. Zach, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Zach O'Sullivan. I'm a Williams Racing Academy driver and I'm racing in F2 this year.
Perfect. So do you want to tell kind of the listeners, how did you start in motorsport?
I started, I think like most in karting, aged 8. There was no real family connection to motorsport. I think a family of petrolheads, especially on my dad's side. But yeah, I always watched the F1 growing up, was always really involved, was a Ferrari fan at the time. And yeah, we went to the Autosport show actually in Birmingham, and there was a small go-kart on sale. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And after a year of pleading and begging for my 8th birthday, I got the go-kart and it went from there.
Perfect. So can you tell me a little bit more about kind of your karting career? So what sort of age did you kind of stop karting to move into cars and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I raced in karting from age 9 until 13, racing in the UK until I was 11, and then Europe from 11 to 13. And yeah, I stopped karting quite early, actually, after OK Junior to move into Ginetta Juniors. I thought I'd learned enough in karting and really wanted to get into a car as quickly as possible. And Ginettas at 14, you could do Ginettas. So it was the best opportunity for me to get into a car and experience that. And yeah, it's a bit of an unorthodox, I think, route into at least single-seater racing, but it's a decision I enjoyed and I'm fond of still.
Ah, I love that. The other thing is, as well, people think that you've got to do really well in karting and you've got to be the best at karting and win everything in karting before you can move on to cars. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's the case?
No, I think it helps for sure. I think now as well, even compared to when I did karting, there's a lot more eyes on karting. There's a lot more drivers getting picked up by academies at that level. When I was doing it, and there were one or two drivers who got scouted by Red Bull, which at the time was a massive thing. No one else was really getting picked up in karting. Whereas now there's a lot more academy drivers in karting. So I think there are more eyes on it now, and it does help going into your first season of F4 or first year of cars. However, I wasn't bad in karting, but equally I didn't win all these championships. And from my side, I learned a lot. You learn a lot about racing. I don't think you can skip karting, especially at a high level, but it's not a disaster if you're not world champion, European champion. You can still go into cars and have a very good career.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think it really depends on the person and the skills, because there are skills that carry over, but again, there's not at the same time. It's still quite different. So you did FIA Formula 3 and you became vice champion, which is super cool. Well done. That's incredible. So would you like to tell me about your season?
Yes, a pretty eventful season, I think. One of the most up and down years I've had, which isn't necessarily a good thing. But no, it was a season I learned a lot in my first year as well in racing outside of a British team with Prema, of course, a very successful team. And I learned a lot, which is the main thing for me. It was a very tight battle to P2 in the end, probably tighter than I would have liked. But no, I think it was a year where I had very, very high highs and equally quite low lows, which is something I'm looking to iron out this year for sure in F2. But no, like I said, I learned a lot, picked up a lot of wins along the way, also combated with a few non-point scores, which wasn't amazing. But no, a year I learned a lot in and I have good memories of.
Yeah, that sounds so cool. I feel like motorsport is full of up and down years. So I think it's one of those things that, like, it just happens in motorsport, doesn't it? There's never a year that goes completely your way. It's very rare if it does.
Exactly.
So you're part of the Williams Driver Academy, Racing Driver Academy. I had to get the words right. I can never get it right. So many words. So how did you become a part of this, and kind of what does this help you with, and what does this give you in your career?
It came off of the back of my GB3 championship where I won the championship there. Yeah, 2021, I had a good year. And yeah, after the season, I got approached by Williams with the prospect of joining their academy, which at the time was a massive thing for me. I was really excited. Also being a British team, it hit quite close to home, which was nice. And yeah, and just before I signed, I also won the Autosport Award. So it all kind of came together quite nicely. And yeah, I'm going into my third year now with Williams. And yeah, I feel really at home with them. It's a massive support. I think there's no way of getting into Formula One without being in an academy. I think also for me, being in it from age 16, I joined. So being in it from quite a long time, you get to build a relationship, not just with the people in the academy, but also a lot of the F1 team. Obviously, I've been going down to the sim for 3 years now. And you learn the faces, you learn the way they work, and you learn a lot about the way an F1 team operates, which is very useful.
Yeah, and I think especially because you want to be there one day, I'm assuming like
Yeah.
most people want to be there. So yeah, so I think that's really helpful. And Williams are a good team, and they've got so much like history and stuff. So that's really, really cool. So you're
Very cool.
doing Formula 2 this year. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? So who you're racing with, all of that.
Yep, so I'm racing with ARTGP, a French team who won the championship last year. So hopefully in good hands for this season. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Just did the pre-season tests a couple of weeks ago in Bahrain, and I'm flying out tomorrow for the first race. So no, it's going to be a really interesting year. It's a new car for the whole grid, which is a curveball. I think as a rookie, it's quite a nice curveball to be thrown. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, it's a new car, new team, plenty of opportunities around. So I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds so cool. And Formula 2 is kind of your next step into F1. Obviously, you've been on the road to F1 for a very long time, but how is this different?
Yeah. So it is the last step before F1. In terms of the actual details of it, it's not too dissimilar from F3. Obviously, F3 and F2 are owned by the same people. We race on the same weekend. So a lot of the ways the team operates are very similar. A lot of the regulations are quite similar. However, there is an element where for sure it is closer to F1. Of course, the cars are faster. We have strategy in the races. We have different tyre compounds we can choose. And of course, as well, the calendar goes to a lot more of the F1 venues, 14 instead of 10 compared to F3. A lot more street circuits. So I think the main thing is you do learn a lot about what would be required of you in F1 through a season of F2. There's a lot more ups and downs, a lot more curveballs thrown at you, which is something I'm also looking forward to because sometimes in F3, once you've done qualifying, you kind of knew where you were going to finish with no pit stops, no real mixed strategy. Whereas in F2, obviously spectating for the last 2 years or so, you never know who's going to win, especially in the feature races if there's a safety car, which is a really cool element. Of course, it goes both ways. Probably some races throughout the year I'll go, oh God, I wish I was on this strategy, but there'll be other races where you can capitalize, which is something quite interesting. And also with the team, you can actually work your way around issues a bit more than perhaps you could have done in F3.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part to like get into F1 as well, isn't it? The strategy. It's a huge thing in F1.
No, exactly. And I think having these longer races, I mean, the feature race is an hour long. At some tracks, it's over 40 laps with a pit stop. So you develop a few more skills of managing and settling into a race. Whereas in F3, every race was like a sprint race, really. It was get to the front and then try and hold on. Whereas in F2, there is a bit more strategy involved. The tire degradation is harder to manage. So you do learn quite a lot.
Totally. So, what is the motorsport life like? Probably very chaotic, it sounds it.
Yeah, hardly glamorous. No, it's fun. I think the one word to sum it up is travel. I think last year I touched 55 flights or something ridiculous. So it adds up, but no, I enjoy it, and it's something also I've been doing since, well, traveling to Europe since the age of 11 through karting. So you get used to it, and yeah, I have my rhythm. I go back, I clean my clothes, put them in the wash, travel again. But no, I enjoy it. Of course, there is an element of pressure, but it's only kind of self pressure. You want to win, but it's nice. I think the off season is, in a way, the longest period because you're not used to having that much time off. And then, especially as everything starts ramping up again, you just want to get going. I think once the season starts, everyone's kind of in the full swing of things, focused, and has one kind of goal in mind.
I like it. And then what's kind of involved in the training, so like the gym kind of side of it?
Yeah, the gym side, I think in the off season is the main time to train, or at least the time you can make gains compared to the previous year, just purely because you have some time and you can set targets. If you're moving up from a category, so F3 to F2, there was a bit of training. Of course, I had the post-season test in Abu Dhabi to see how I was. There weren't too many issues, luckily. But also for me, a key element will be not just training for F2, but also potentially training for the next step. Not to say I'll be racing F1, but if I have an FP1 session or any tests, the step from F2 to F1 is far bigger than F3 to F2. So I think I've always taken the approach in fitness to be ready for the next season rather than the season you're in, just in case, you never know. So yeah, I mean, the gym stuff is is a bit strenuous at times, especially neck training, which gets a few odd looks in the gym. But no, it's enjoyable, and it's easier to train when you have a goal. When there's a goal in mind, and you know, actually, if I'm not strong enough, I won't be able to drive the car properly, you get on with it and do your job.
Yeah, exactly. So, how do you kind of balance family life and social life with motorsport?
Yeah, it's, I would say it's not too tricky, but I'm also used to it. So you develop certain circles, you have friends. I still have friends that I've gone to school with who are now at uni. So at some points you got in separate paths. But no, I mean you have a somewhat of a friend group within the racing circle as well. Normally not necessarily people you're racing against or directly competing against, because of course there's always the element of the friendship going wrong. But no, I'm quite self-sufficient, so it hasn't really been a big struggle for me. But when I do go home, I meet up with friends and catch up when I can. But no, I think of it more as I'm lucky to be doing what I'm doing. I shouldn't be complaining that I don't have a social life. It's my decision at the end of the day, and a lot of people are putting sacrifices into making this possible.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's one of the kind of sacrifices you have to make, I think, because as well, you're all over the world all of the time. Realistically, you're only kind of the people that you see socially are all just going to be the people around you. But I
Exactly.
think as well, that's nice about racing because you all have a similar interest. So it's good to make friends around that.
No, exactly. Any elite sports. I think, yeah, you sacrifice quite a lot of time to it, but it shouldn't be a burden on you at least.
Yeah, exactly. So sponsorship is a difficulty for many drivers, like from all different areas of motorsport. So kind of what would be your advice on how to get this and how to kind of retain it and stuff?
Advice is how to get it. It's quite tricky. The basic kind of point is that no, given the sums of money involved, no company is going to just want their logo on the side of a car and expect a return on investment. It doesn't really work like that. But no, I think in the end it comes down to an element of generosity from a potential sponsor or partner, selling them the fact that it's a journey, it's everyone's journey to F1. It's about getting in quite early. It's not easy, don't get me wrong, otherwise my car would be plastered in logos. But no, it is possible. Of course, results are a big factor. You mentioned how to keep them on board. How to keep them on board mainly is having good results. The higher up you are, the more airtime you get. And also really making sure you can give them experiences perhaps that might buy or experiences they wouldn't have if they weren't involved with you. So racing specific experiences, hospitality packages, stuff like that where they can perhaps take their employees out on a day out or stuff like that that is a bit left of field and something that's quite unique to sponsoring a racing driver or anything in motorsport.
Yeah, and I think the results thing, that's a massive part of F1 and like the higher up categories as well, isn't it? So it's
Exactly.
one of the things that I think you have to retain good results. And what is your best piece of advice that you'd give to someone wanting to be where you are in the future?
Ooh, best piece of advice. Honestly, I've never been one to set targets or expectations for myself. I think for me it works quite well. Whenever I've tried to set a target or expectation or plan too far ahead, it's always kind of gone wrong, or not necessarily gone wrong, but not gone as I'd hoped, which then means it's gone wrong. So I think for me, one of the things I always work on what I can see in front of me, what's obvious to improve, and all the little things should then add up. If you focus on what you can control, and you're happy going into a race weekend or a season, you go, okay, this is covered, this is covered, this is covered. There may be some elements you got to be honest with yourself, even going into a season and go, actually, this isn't fixed. This could be better. But as long as you have that in mind, you're not so shocked if it doesn't go well or if it does go well. So yeah, I think not setting expectations and working what's in your control.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well because, as I say, like all the time, motorsport is so chaotic and random, and there is literally no like set thing that's going to happen every single time. It's always different for everybody. So, yeah.
And there's no sport in the world, I think, with so many variables. You can do everything you want to do properly, and there could be a random safety car. You could get taken out, and your engine could fail. So it's honestly, it's I think being in motorsport as either a fan or as a driver, you get used to this element of unpredictability. But then when I tell people from other sports about it, they're like, well, why do you bother? There's so much that can go wrong. If you're playing football, and as long as you do a good job, you're going to do a good job. And there's so much out of your control. And I think it's easy in once you're so kind of immersed within motorsport to forget that and then just microanalyze everything. But at some point, you've just got to go, it is what it is. It's happened now. You go to the next one.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that's the essence of motorsport, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just,
No
it's
one's perfect.
completely random.
So.
Yeah. So what is your biggest achievement so far? This is where you can brag as much as you want to.
I think biggest achievement would be winning the Autosport Award in 2021. Less so, more because of the history behind the award. Also, I think how unique it is. I wouldn't say it was necessarily like my most. I probably have more challenging F3 races and other races, but that was probably the one where I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. And because it's so unique, I mean, no other competition do you get essentially blindfolded to lap times before other drivers on track and sent into four different cars within a day. Which is really cool. And it's something I found really unique, adapting really quickly. And I really enjoyed it. So I think, yeah, for me, that was probably a pretty big moment and quite a cool moment in my career to look back at who's won it in the past as well, all these F1 drivers. And of course, the prize that comes with it as well. Obviously, the monetary prize, but also the F1 test was very, very cool.
So tell me more about the F1 test. So kind of what car was that in, all of that?
Yeah, that was in a 2021 Aston Martin. Which was obviously quite ironic being a Williams Academy driver at the time. But no, it was super cool around Silverstone as well. It was a full dry day. And yeah, at the time I was 17. So it was a bit of a jump up from F3. But no, it's a day I'll never forget. And you never forget your first time in an F1 car. I remember the first time I went full throttle. The hybrid system wasn't fully working. And I was like, oh, it's quite fast, but it's not crazy. And of course they regen when you brake. So I brake for the next corner, and then it was going to the run down to Copse and flat out again. And I think it, basically when the hybrid works, you almost double the power of the car. And I was like, oh my God, this is actually really, really fast. So it was a bit of a wake up call, but like anything, you adapt quite quickly. And it's a moment I'll never forget. Super, super cool to have the track to your own, especially Silverstone in an F1 car.
Yeah, I think that's so cool as well. With Silverstone being your home track, right, as well. That's just so cool. So, what is the dream in motorsport? Formula One, I'm guessing, but
The dream,
expand on it.
yeah, Formula One, I think is the dream. I think as soon as I kind of started this journey, that the goal was always either to be in Formula One or to have a viable career in motorsport or make a living from doing what I love, which is racing. Of course, Formula One is the peak of motorsport, the top level. So that has turned into my goal in that sense. And the way my career has gone, obviously, I'm in a position where if I do everything right, I can make that goal. So I think Formula One is the first goal. I would be silly to say F1 world champion because you never know how it is in F1. Some drivers have 20-year careers and never have a car good enough. But of course, that is everyone's goal deep down. But no, I think for now, making it to Formula One, staying afloat, doing a good job would be the goal and something I do think is achievable provided I do everything right in my side.
Yeah, and I think as well, because you're now like in F2 this season, you're gonna do really well, you're gonna whack it out of the park, and then you'll be in
Exactly.
F1. So that's what we're
Okay.
manifesting it. It's great. So who are your motorsport heroes?
But heroes, hard to say. There's no one I necessarily idolize, but more I think people, if they're doing a good job, I respect hard work, dedication.
Yeah.
I think I respect anyone who puts a lot of hard work in, builds a team around them. So in that sense, I guess Michael Schumacher, it was someone I watched growing up and respected a lot. So I think, yeah, Michael.
Yeah, I think Michael Schumacher is one of those people as well who will never be forgotten as well. Like Ayrton Senna is now.
I think when you're bigger than your sport, it says a great deal. And he kind of changed the industry as well in the way he trained, the way he kind of brought the sport forward into the 21st century.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And he's such an icon as well, isn't he? So
Thank you.
cool. So, yeah. So, my last question, and the question that I ask everybody, if you could get a paddock pass to any race in the world, where
Yeah.
would you go?
Ooh, tricky one. I would love to go to the Indy 500. And that's a kind of bucket list race to go to, just to watch because you see it on TV and it looks really fast on TV. But I'd love to see it in person. Apart from that, Isle of Man TC, maybe. I think the races you see that are a bit crazy and you see on TV. So I say Isle of Man TT because I would love to see it actually in person. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'd like to at least go once whilst it still is running and just see because I mean, to put it brute like yeah they're crazy. I don't know why they do it or how they do it, but they're crazy riders and it would be amazing to see it in person.
Yeah, I think I think Indy 500 would be definitely up there on my list, 100%. The other one is Le Mans. I would really love to do Le Mans.
Le Mans,
I think that
Dakar.
would just be so cool.
A couple of cool ones that I think any of those big one event races are the ones to go to.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I would also probably say a lot of the Formula One races, but I guess you've probably been to a lot of
I
those
that's the
already.
thing. There's not many. Whenever I'm there, it's always me in the F3 paddock, so I kind of miss the F1 race.
I love it. Hopefully you'll be in the F1 race one day. Hey, maybe. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Paddock Pass podcast with me, Evie Spencer. Make sure to follow this podcast for more episodes and head over to my socials for more motorsport content.